just, I'm ridiculously encouraged. I am ridiculously encouraged as I was preparing for this week, because we're entering a new season. And I'm not just talking about we're entering spring, although that is enjoyable. I'm saying we are entering, as Praise Fellowship Church, a new season. And God is doing a thing that is, it's only Him doing it. I mean, there's nothing, when I look at it, I'm just like, God, I'm just so blessed by You. Because this is You orchestrating and aligning things within this fellowship that actually are aligning with the physical season. So as we're like, I know it's crazy. The physical seasons we're in currently are actually, I believe, prophetic in the nature of the spiritual seasons we are in. Because when I looked back, this was a conversation I was having this last week with my brother Phil Hall over there. And all of a sudden it just hit me like a ton of bricks. That as I was talking with him, I realized when we were in the fall, when Kira and I had first come back from the mission field and stepped into the position here, you know, and I'm just like, God, I don't know what, we don't know what we're doing. What do You want us to do? What do You want us to say? Where do we, yeah, praise the Lord. Where do You want us to start? We're like, I don't know. And he had us speaking, if you guys remember, he had to start off by speaking about forgiveness. It's not an easy topic. And then he had us go from forgiveness to repentance. And then there was confession. And then there was consecration. I mean, like, these are aspects of the faith that are unbelievably powerful, but most of them have to do with the dying off, the cutting away, the pruning that which is not producing good fruit in order that good fruit can be produced. And isn't that what fall really is? It's like the fall going into winter is this season of dying off, of dead things like falling away, leaves falling off trees, like all of those things that have to happen in order for spring. And so when I looked at it, I was just like, oh my goodness, God, You are so good. That was all Him. He was putting words on our hearts to speak about that aligned with the season in which we were actually in. And I believe that as we're moving forward, He is doing a thing that is aligning with spring. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. Huh? You just have to trust in Him. Just have to trust in Him. Amen. Amen. He's establishing this fellowship for growth within this community. And, you know, as a pastor, I know both people are like, oh, yeah, I'm sure He wants the numbers to grow. I'm not talking about numbers. I don't care about numbers. I absolutely have no desire other than to see Him build His church. So if numbers come, that's great. But outside of that, He's establishing us for the growth that truly actually matters. He's establishing in us a growth that is far preferred, and that is spiritual growth and maturity within this house. And so I just can see it, and I can see it so much so that I'm going to show you guys some of my awful artwork that I have sketched out on my own little iPad because I have fun. Look at that. It's like when I was in third grade. So if you've been here and traveling, tracking along with us, we've been going through vision, mission, core values, and God just showed me a picture, which this is it, of the values. And I know you can't really read it, but the values were seeds being planted in this field. There is one King, one house, one truth, one spirit, one family, one gospel, one church, one bride, one heart, and one kingdom all represented. And when I say this field, I'm talking about the soil that is your heart. Like, we've been talking about these things, not because they're just great ideas. We're talking about these things because if we embody them, the one kingdom under the one King, is what we're going to see is all of these things begin to transform and manifest in our lives. And the kingdom that we claim to believe and walk in will become that which is our reality. More and more and more and more. Let's go to the next picture. So this is the sun, S-O-N, shining on the seeds. This is the rain, R-E-I-G-N, coming down upon those seeds. When we allow the rain, the sun to shine on us, when we allow the rain, in other words, the kingship that we're talking about, the kingdom in which we're operating in, to become our reality and everything else starts to take root, right? This is what we're anticipating is this. See those seedlings starting to pop through? Can you see it? Yeah? I tried. I should have used brighter colors maybe. And then and ultimately the growth that I believe God is lining us up for is in the next image. In which all of the root systems are tying together, in which they are growing sturdy, they're growing healthy, the sun is shining, the rain is raining, and the trees are bearing fruit. You maybe can see the fruit on there. I tried to put little apples, something along those lines. And so when I say I'm excited, I mean, when I say that I'm like really excited about what God is doing, I'm serious. Because maybe you're not seeing it, maybe you don't know it, but God is not leaving people alone in this house. Amen. He's certainly not leaving me alone. I'm like, oh, Lord. Like I said last week, I said, this is extremely uncomfortable for me. I didn't say that to make you think, oh my gosh, our pastor is extremely uncomfortable in his position. I did that because I love the discomfort that comes from God. I love the discomfort that comes from God because when I'm uncomfortable in God, then God is leading. And it's not me doing what I know I can do. It's me being in a position of utter reliance on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And saying, God, I am so terrified at that thought, but since you asked me to, I will. Amen. That's what Jesus did that we celebrated last week. He said, since you asked me to, I will. Not my will, but your will be done. That's the equivalent. And many of you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's putting an ask in your heart. And that's what we're anticipating. But many of you are also saying, but I don't know. Like, I don't know, and I'm not sure. And and how do we go about that new ask that God is putting in my heart? How do I go about stepping into that new challenge that God is challenging me with? How do I navigate this? Right? And so the point I'm trying to get to is what I'm excited about today specifically is we are inviting into this fellowship today by the way of the Holy Spirit's movement and God ordained some laborers to work alongside us in this field in the harvest that is coming. And they're going to be helping the pastoral team. We're blessed. We are really blessed with the team that we have. I love Rich and Ann and AJ and Tammy, and the giftings that are among the team are very, I think, well-balanced, and we work well together, and we're encouraging one another and lifting each other up, and it's really great. But I am anticipating a harvest that is far beyond what we can manage. Amen. And so I am, I'm anticipating something that is going to require additional laborers in the field. And this is today we're taking a first step towards those laborers entering into the field with us. And we are having an elder installation service today. Amen? It's of the utmost importance, guys. Elders, I'm going to just talk briefly on what eldership is, and then we're going to have a time of commissioning the elders at the end of my message, and then we're going to be going into a time of prayer over them as a fellowship, coming together in prayer over them in the position that they're stepping up into. But today, we are installing and commissioning elders, and this is something that is of the utmost importance. If you look at Titus 1:5, Paul, the apostle, writes to Titus and says, Titus, the reason I left you in Crete was to set right what was left undone, and as I directed you, to appoint elders in every town. So Paul saw something. In some translations, I like this a little bit better. In some translations, it says, not set right, but put in order. And I kind of like that wording a little bit better, but essentially what Paul is saying is this is of the utmost importance. Before you can move on to doing more planting, We need to set right this thing that's been left undone, because it is extremely important that there are people of maturity, people that God ordains to oversee and to help steward and shepherd the flock. And so what we're doing today is not a little thing. It's not some just, oh, wow, great, some more people, you know, that are kind of maybe stepping up in some way, shape, or form. Like, no, it's not just a little step up. This is something that is rooted in biblical history. It's something that is rooted in biblical theology. It goes back as well, and as far, if you look at it, it goes back as to Genesis 1. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them to be what? Overseers. That's synonymous with elders. He made them to work alongside with him in overseeing creation. But the first time overseer is mentioned in the Bible, or elder is mentioned in the Bible, well, not elder, overseer specifically, is Joseph. Joseph ends up being the overseer of all of Potiphar's possessions when he gets sold into slavery in Egypt. And he finds favor, and he ends up being appointed as the overseer. Then he goes through some more stuff, right? We know the story. But ultimately it results in what? Him being overseer of all of Egypt. Second to Pharaoh only. So you go all the way back and you find this concept of God ordaining individuals to oversee that which he is doing in a place and time. But one of my favorite stories, biblically speaking, that I just love it, is when Moses and his good old father-in-law Jethro are having a conversation in Exodus 18. Exodus 18, if you guys are page turners, you can flip there. I'll wait a second. Exodus 18, 13 to 21, and then 24 and 25. What Jethro comes to visit Moses, to bring Moses' wife back to him after he's led all of Israel out of Egypt. And so he's got thousands of people now that he is leading out to the promised land. And Jethro comes to him and they have this amazing interaction, another interaction that I love. But it leads up to this interaction where Jethro sees Moses doing something as a leader. And he looks at him and is like, what are you doing? More or less. I mean, those are my words. But that's really what he kind of looks at him and says. But he's like, the next day Moses sat down to judge the people. And they stood around Moses from morning until evening. You know, so it's like this one man is trying to do this massive work of overseeing this great multitude. And you know, they're coming to him saying, hey, this is my goat. No, that's my goat. And it's like Moses is having a term. Well, cut the goat in half. And no, keep the goat. Then that's your goat because you love the goat, right? That's, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to be wise. He's trying to judge. And he's trying to determine these disputes between people. And he's one man. And Jethro comes along, and Jethro himself is, an elderly man who's a priest and a wise man. And he says to him, when Moses, his father-in-law, saw everything he was doing for them, he asked, what is this you're doing for the people? Why are you alone sitting as judge while all the people stand around you from morning until evening? Moses replied to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. Whenever they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I make a decision between one man and another. I teach them God's statutes and laws. And then Jethro, I love it. What you're doing is not good. Moses' father-in-law said to him, you will certainly wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. So now listen to me, and I will give you some advice. And God be with you. In other words, like, I'm going to give you advice. God be with you with whatever you decide. He said, but you be the one to represent the people before God and bring their cases to him. Instruct them about the statutes and laws and teach them the way to live and what they must do. But you should select from all the people able men, God-fearing, trustworthy, and hating dishonest profit. place them over the people as commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And then if you go down to 24, it says, Moses listened to his father-in-law. That's a miracle in and of itself, right? Sorry. I would listen to mine. Anyway, and did everything he said. So Moses chose able men from all Israel and made them leaders over the people as commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So I referenced this just to go to show you that this is something that goes all the way back. The idea that no one person, two people, three people, even as numbers grow. And this is where I'm saying, like, you might say, well, Moses was one man over thousands. So how come you guys can't just oversee, you know, a couple hundred? And I'm like, because I'm anticipating more. I'm anticipating this harvest. I'm anticipating revival. I'm anticipating that which God says is coming and going to happen. And I don't think that it's anything that the three pastoral couples can just say, we know it all and we got it. We got it. And heaven forbid we ever do that, because it's just not right. I think as Moses, in a prophetic sense, captives are about to be set free. And they're going to be looking to follow people to the promised land. And so we need those people of wise, able-bodied, hating dishonest prophet, trustworthy, God-fearing, that can help to lead. This is a role that's rooted in Jesus and the commands of Scripture. It's a God-ordained role. Peter, the Apostle Peter, the OG elder of the church, he gave specific instructions to the elders that were dispersed in exile in the book of 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. He says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. This is what I'm talking about. This is the perception from which I'm kind of, my vantage point at this time is something is about to be revealed. And Peter is saying, like, I'm exhorting you, I'm building you up to understand, elders, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over these entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So this is a call from Peter to the elders that were dispersed all across, saying this is the nature, and it's rooted in Jesus. It's rooted in living the life that Jesus commanded us to live. It's a God-ordained appointed position. When Peter wrote this letter, at the very beginning of the letter, he says to those chosen. Therefore, it implies that anybody mentioned in the letter he's referring to are people chosen for what they're doing and functioning in the place of God, or that God has appointed them to. So the eldership is an appointed, God-ordained position. He equates the eldership role to a pastoral role by saying, shepherd God's flock. It's an equivalent of, it's the same thing as what we to many in many ways are doing. They're coming alongside because there's a flock that needs cared for, and there's growth that is going to happen. Eldership is not meant to be a controlling position, but it says from a willing, servant-hearted place, they are supposed to lead. Because it says in that same passage, as God would have you. So that's an implied, we are submitting ourselves in the same way Jesus submitted himself. So our heart to lead is from a position of serving, not controlling. This is not a position to be used for selfish gain, and certainly not for power, but to aspire to attain the example set by the words of Jesus himself. I'm saying all these things so that you understand the nature by which we have to come around and view the role. Because it's a matter of great importance that we know what the expectations are and what the standards are. Jesus is the standard, and we're saying that the elders in which we are installing today are aiming for that standard, and they're going to be counseling from the place of the heart of Jesus Christ, saying we are going to try to emulate, we're going to try to exemplify, we're going to try to reflect that which is the heart of Jesus over this community, so that when you go to them as elders and you're saying, I'm going through this, you have an understanding that the heart in which they are, you know, meant to react to that is from the same place as the great shepherd himself. Amen. Jesus set the expectation and the example of what a kingdom leader should look like when he was talking to his disciples in Matthew 20, 25 to 28. And this is such a funny story because the mother of the sons of thunder, John and James, you know, the sons of Zebedee, she has quite a bit of nerve, I would say. She comes up to Jesus and she's like, hey, so in this kingdom you keep talking about that's coming, I just want to ask, can my sons sit at your right and left hand? Can they have the most prominent places in your kingdom? As leaders alongside you. And Jesus is like, you do not know what you're asking me. But then he realizes, you know, okay, I gotta just have a conversation with all my disciples. Because they kept having that argument, right? If you're tracking along with them, they're like, who's gonna be the greatest? I am. You know, like, no, I am, because I did this or I did. Like, if you watch The Chosen, it's really wonderfully depicted. And some of the episodes where they're like battling, like who's done the best assisting of Jesus, and that's going to somehow earn them a place of prominence in this kingdom he's talking about. So Jesus is like, all right, guys, come over here. I'm going to tell you this one more time. All right. But he calls them over, Matthew 20, and he says, Jesus called them over and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. As the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when we reflect upon this particular scripture in the words of Jesus himself regarding the character and the nature of a leader in the church, we recognize that the disposition of an elder, based on all the scriptures that I can find, is one that is humble, not proud. One that is caring, not callous. One that is a servant, not a tyrant. One that stewards and is not wasteful. And one that is honest and not deceitful. There are additional benefits that just naturally come from appointed elders in a fellowship. One of the best ones is declared in Proverbs 24. Verses 5 and 6. It says, a wise warrior is better than a strong one, and a man of knowledge than one of strength. For you should wage war with sound guidance. Victory comes with many counselors. You know, our pastoral team, we're few counselors. But as we establish this additional leadership, we will be starting to operate with many counselors. And that which is the victory in all of our cases, no need to apologize. It's the Lord calling. You might want to pick it up. Just. So victory comes with many counselors, and for many of you, all of us, we're waging a spiritual battle, and we need to have sound spiritual guidance. You know, we're in a war, whether you realize it or not, and you have battles going on daily, and so the more people you can say, hey, I just need some counsel. I need some advice. Perhaps you've gone through this before. Perhaps you've dealt with something like this. The more people who you know are trusted to call upon and to seek that, the better the chances are of you being able to navigate and not fight the fight. It says that a wise warrior is better than a strong one. Why? Because you don't have to be strong if you don't fight. Right? A man of knowledge better than one of strength. You don't have to be strong when you know I could go this way around this battle. I could circumvent this in some way, shape, or form. Like, because of their counsel, I now know that I can go under, over, sideways. You know what I'm saying? There's a way around this that I maybe didn't anticipate on my own, but I didn't know. And so having an elder in a community is somebody who I believe, you know, and I get it, not just because somebody is older, equates to wisdom. I get that. All right? That's why we ask the Lord. Yeah, somebody who is older has most likely walked on the ledge of something. So they know how to walk the ledge. Knowledge, see what I'm doing there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ding! They know how to walk the ledge of something. Knowledge is something that is earned through an uncomfortable process. And you might be looking at something that is an uncomfortable process, and you're just saying, man, I just wish I knew somebody who has already walked on this ledge or something similar that could give me some guidance so that I don't misstep and fall into hopeless despair. Because, guys, that's the chasm. And we've got a lot of people falling off that cliff all over the place, and I don't want to see people in this fellowship fall off that cliff. The desire is for this fellowship to become a place of health, wholeness, so that it can be perceived as safe and a place to be in the sacred presence of the King of Kings. And so that's the whole premise behind this thing, is that we are desiring to see the health, because that's what it takes to become that picture. You're not going to grow up strong and produce healthy fruit if the seed doesn't even break through the soil. You know what I'm saying? But some of these people are people who have helped to cultivate soil before. So they know a little bit about what it is to move a rock out of the way. They know a little bit about what it is to plant or to water or to cultivate. You know, and so that's an additional bonus to eldership. The other thing is counsel, sharing what they know. So knowledge is knowing what they know. Counsel is just saying, hey, I have some advice that could help you not misstep. Counsel is similar to authoritative correction. So it can be looked at as somebody who is able to admonish and just say, you know, the scriptures say this. So maybe let's look at it from this perspective and not from the earthly one. And place our understanding in the Word of God. Because there's only two ways that I know of to get to know what we don't know if we've never been somewhere before. One of those ways is by the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit giving you a word of knowledge. And that does happen. I believe it. I've been given words of knowledge before, that information downloaded that I couldn't have possibly known when I've been ministering to somebody. I believe very much in words of knowledge. But the other way is asking for counsel from someone who's gone there before you. So, with that said, we're going to be entering a time here of commissioning our new elders within this community. And so I'd like to invite up our new eldership. We've got Doug and Tina Huckabone, if you guys would like to join us up here. Jim and Leslie Apgar. Phil and Mary Hall. And Denny and Judy Atwater. You guys can come right on up on stage. Just to give you a little bit of a basis, if you go back in the midst of our planting the seeds of the core values of Praise Fellowship Church, we during one of our services, we just said, listen, we need your help because we want to know that there is relational relationships already developed between the people that get appointed and the congregation that exists here, so that you know that, okay, like maybe, you know, some of the individuals up here are somebody you don't know yet or somebody who you haven't had a long-standing relationship with, but we took all of those ballots, all of those suggestions that came from the congregation and compiled them, and we had, you know, a list of about 20-some names. It was awesome, honestly, because it means that there's many of you people find trust in and that they confide in and that they look to already to varying degrees, you know? And so that's wonderful. But then we took the, you know, pastoral team and then our remaining elders, Brian and Donna Adelgren, who have been elders here for a very long time. God bless them. And we got together and we looked at these names and we worshiped the Lord first. And we prayed to the Lord for guidance. And then we looked at the names. And we talked and we prayed and we sought after God's heart for this. And I'm telling you guys, it was one of the most unified coming togethers of leadership I've been a part of. And the way that there were six names actually that sifted to the top of the list. Six different individuals. And I reached out to them and I let them know what we were asking of them. And I asked them to prayerfully consider, you know, and we gave a window of time for them to really consider what it is they're stepping up into. Because while this is a joyful moment, this is also a moment that carries a lot of weight. It carries a lot of weight. Like I said, it is a pastoral appointment. Therefore, it comes with the same accountability before the great judge as that of one of a pastoring position. And so so we prayed and we asked them to pray. And then there were a couple individuals who got back and just said, now's not the right season. We're not hearing from the Lord that this is the time for us to step into this position. God bless you. Maybe next year, you know. but these four individuals, Denny and Doug and Jim and Phil, they reached back. I believe talk to their wives. first and foremost, you got to have that priority, right? Talk to God, talk to the wives. But then they got back in touch with me and just said, yes, they feel this is a time and a season to enter into as leaders in this fellowship. I want to move this stand. This is blocking your beautiful face, Judy. And so, you know, they got back and we said, praise the Lord, amen. And so we got together and had a preliminary meeting to discuss all of that. And then we scheduled out and had a wonderful gathering last week where we got together and just broke bread together and are starting to work on, you know, developing relationships within the leadership already. Because it's of the utmost importance that we know each other and that we trust each other and that we are able to come alongside each other in prayer and encouragement and the building up of the leadership of this church. And, you know, because it's no secret to anybody. I mean, Kira and I just got back here. You know, we've only been here for a short period of time. And while I have known some of them longer than others, I'm like, we know that we've got to continue to grow in getting to know one another. So... But we do believe as a leadership, current leadership, that this is a team that God has anointed and ordained for this season and this time. So that's all that matters to me, is that it is God ordained. And so we're going to go through this little time of commissioning where I'm going to be asking the team here to agree to certain statements of commitment in leading the flock here at Praise Fellowship Church. And then we're going to go into a time actually where there will be a response from those of you who consider Praise Fellowship your home. If you consider this your family, you consider this your home, you know, then please respond when I get to the point of asking you as a fellowship some very specific requests, biblically based requests of submission of authority, to authority. And so, and then we're going to go into a full-on commissioning statement, and then we're going to be praying over these leaders. Is that clear? Everybody get that? I just want to make sure you guys understand what's happening and are tracking along with me. I know this isn't necessarily a normal service, but this is a very necessary establishment within this house. Because like I said, I'm anticipating good things. I'm anticipating that picture. And I ain't picking all those apples. No, I'm just kidding. Although I'm sure, Doug, you have an apple picker? No, just a stick. So I'm going to address you elders as I address you. Just take into account the words that are being said and just respond, we do. If you agree. If you don't, just walk off stage and we'll move. No harm, no foul, right? So do you as elders commit to an intentional, personal, as well as unified marital pursuit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in order that you may be transformed more into the likeness of Him who is our living example and then leading with this community in reflecting God's heart? Yeah. Sorry, there's a bit of a run-on sentence there. Do you as elders commit to intentional prayer and intercession on behalf of the flock, the leadership of which you are now a part, and the completion of the mission of Praise Fellowship that God has ordained for us to execute at this time in history? Amen. Amen. Do you commit to laboring in the spiritual field alongside the pastoral staff, committed to to people's spiritual health, relational growth, and discipleship within the community? Amen. Do you commit to commit yourselves to working in Praise Fellowship in order to cultivate a kingdom atmosphere that is both healthy, whole, and where people feel safe and in the sacred presence of our King Jesus? Amen. Do you commit to lovingly confront any known willful sin existing in the church and offer wise counsel with a non-judgmental heart? I do. Amen. Do you also commit to anoint with oil and lay hands on those people who are both in spiritual and physical sickness? I do. Amen. Do you yourselves commit to being held accountable to the biblical standard of an elder that has been put into place by God Himself through His written word? And are you willing to peaceably and with spiritual maturity relinquish your position of authority if there is a biblical-based reason to do so? I do. And do you commit to all these statements willingly and joyfully before this congregation? I do. Yeah, come on now. Amen. And like I said, I know that some of you maybe don't know these couples as well as you'd like or haven't met some of them, but this isn't a process of man ordaining anything. This is a process of God appointing a leadership. And so as we move forward, I encourage you all to get to know. We're about to have a feast together. And so I encourage you all to get to know these couples much better as we break bread together and in times of fellowship together, that you would engage them in conversation and get to experience and relate to them in such a way that that you could call on them in a time of need and say, I need prayer. I need a help. I'm struggling with something, and I'm looking for some counsel. I'm looking for guidance. And so at this point in time, though, I do want to take the moment to address you, the congregation, and ask for a similar response. As I said, if you consider this your home, if you consider this your fellowship, in regards to submitting to the authority that is being appointed over you today. This is a God-ordained thing. And God states in Scripture, in Hebrews 13, 7, 17 and 8, 13, 7, and then 17 through 8, he just says this, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. And then 17 to 18 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So congregation of Praise Fellowship Church, I ask you this morning, are you willing to submit to these, your spiritual leaders, doing your best to cover them in prayer and support them in their role? 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13 says this. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Regard can be considered honor. Praise Fellowship, will you show respect and honor to these your elders as they seek to love, care for, and steward you, the flock which God has chosen them to oversee. Amen. And 1 Timothy 5:19 says this, don't accept an accusation against an elder unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. Praise Fellowship, will you proceed to the best of your ability to respond in a biblical manner regarding any presumed fault of these elders? Will you confirm, hold on just a second, we're almost there. Will you confirm complaints without gossip and refrain from spreading accusation that is unfounded and uncertain? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Because we don't want it. Amen. We want to be healthy. We want to be whole. Amen. We want to be a safe place. Hallelujah. Where all that happens in these walls are sacred before the King of Kings. And that spills out and over into this community and transforms it into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. So pastoral staff, Brian and Donna, if you would at this time come on up, we're going to just do a commissioning statement, but I want you all to lay your hands, if you guys would come closer together. Crowd on in. And then you guys can come on up and join around. And
is there any way that you could indulge me for?
Absolutely, Brian. I think we're good here. Yep.
Is there any way that we can? We've had the privilege of serving here for over 20 years, and so this is a new season, as Jordan said earlier today, and this is a pretty exciting new season. The spring is coming, and these new folks and leadership, we're just really excited about what the future holds. It's not just that they've been chosen, but it's also that they've been called. They've been called to serve in this capacity, and for them to accept this calling is a huge deal, because they know that they're going to be held to a different level of accountability. So in that calling, I'd just like to say a couple of things. And so everything is temporary. I have a friend who just would remind me in the bad days that, you know, that you're crying or whining or whatever, that what we go through and what we're doing here in this time on earth is temporary. It's all temporary except for the permanence that happened at the cross of Jesus. That's what made what we do here, or what these leaders are going to do in the next season, permanent. It's the permanency of what Jesus did and bled and died for on that cross. And so, in and of that, I'd like to have Jordan, I wish Kara was here, but if you would stand in the front, up there, and face the cross. AJ and Tammy and Rich and Ann, if you would stand behind him and face the cross. And you elders, if you would turn and face the cross. They know that on that cross, that's what they're led by. My wife had a prophetic word long time ago that this is a new season, and this is new wine and new wineskins. Jordan preached it from the pulpit here, Jordan and Kara. And so if you guys would also stand and face this cross, because there's new wine in the cluster. But if you see how this is pointed, we all form the cluster. And we're all going to be poured out in this new season as new wine, led by Jesus who died for us on the cross, the permanency of that. So we want to thank you guys for being willing to serve, for being called, and to be the point, the head of the new cluster of the new wine. So I guess you could turn and face your congregation now, but that was just kind of the picture that God gave me, as well as Jordan had this picture, and just there's part of the cluster.
There she is.
Part of the cluster.
Always late to the party, that one.
What a privilege it is to just welcome you guys to be a part of this next season and just kind of like pass the torch.
Mm.
It's awesome.
Amen. And so I'm going to do just a statement of commission, just a final statement of commissioning over all of you, as if you want to go lay hands on them. And then we're going to go into a time I've asked Brian and Donna to please anoint our new elders. So as I'm going to do this commission, and then you can start anointing, and we're going to just go into some time of prayer. Here, I'll hand this to somebody so that... Here we go, Rich. You can grab that.
Is it okay if we start on this side?
Yeah, go for it.
Only because I know that...
Go for it. Oh, okay. So, in the presence of God, as our witness, we commission you as elders and overseers of Praise Fellowship Church. And we recognize in a spirit of unity that this is a God-ordained position of authority within this church. In the presence of God and these witnesses, we install you to lovingly care for, pray for, defend, and disciple this body in their pursuit of holiness, righteousness, and sanctification. We commission you, elders, to lead by example, counsel in love, and serve humbly without favoritism. We declare this commissioning over you in the presence of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To him be all glory given forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and anoint. Father God, we lift these elders up to you. If you want to reach your hands out to the elders right now, and we're just going to join in prayer. Father, we just lift them up to you. We lift this position, Lord, that you have ordained them for before you, Lord. And we just ask that you give wisdom beyond what is already known. We ask that you give knowledge beyond what is already known in Jesus' name. We ask that you give them a heart, Lord, for counsel, for care, for pastoring. Lord, anywhere where there is a deficiency, Father, we ask for you to become their sufficiency. We ask for you to just give them all that is necessary in this coming season so that they would be able to look upon what you're doing, give you praise, glory, and honor, and help assist you in step and in stride with your Holy Spirit. Father God, I just thank you so much for these couples. I thank you for Phil and Mary Hall. We ask for a blessing in their union. In their marriage, we ask for you to impart favor in the family, in the generations that they represent. Lord, we pray the same thing for Jim and Leslie. Lord, as Jim is leading, as he leads men here in this fellowship, in a Bible study and in a small group, Lord, we just ask that you give him just a greater capacity and knowledge for your word. Just give him revelation, Father God, that he can instill the truth with authority and that he can instill it with care and love, Lord, according to your will. And that you would just to help give Leslie a greater level of that helpmate mentality, that she would come along and that the unity between them would become one. Father God, as it is one, you've seen them come together in marriage and you are turning them more and more into one, yes. Lord. Yes. And Doug and Tina, Father, we just pray for you to just instill in them a vision, Lord, and for this fellowship, that they would see what it is exactly that their role is as a part of this leadership, as a part of this team, and that they would walk it out in faith and obedience. Lord God, and that they would just, Doug's hands were so much in the creation of this building, Lord. He is, his hands, him and Tina, they were in at the very root of this structure. Lord, they literally, blood, sweat, and tears, I'm sure, have been sown into this place, Father, for your glory, Father. And so they just bless them for it. Bring blessing and favor for them. Denny and Judy, Lord. I just pray for the increase of just the prophetic that Denny walks in. Let him hear you clearly and let him be an encourager, Lord. Let him be somebody who lifts up, comforts, exhorts, encourages, strengthens, edifies, Lord. And that you would just increase in Judy, her mother's heart. Oof, yeah. Increase in her mother's heart. Father God, in such a way that she would look at everyone as her own child, that she would look at everyone and say, God, God, I love them so much. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to open in prayer.
As we stand here and look at these couples, these guys that have answered the call, what we're looking at is four sets of humble hearts. That this position that they've been asked by God to step into is not going to puff them up. But in knowing that we're looking at four sets of humble hearts here, we also pray God's anointing over you. We pray what Peter admonished us in his words, to be sober, to be vigilant, because our enemy roams about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour and destroy. And when you step into a position that God's called you into, the enemy knows it also. So be sober, be vigilant with your marriage, with your families. Stretch our hands out. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these men, for these women, these couples that you have called forth into a high calling. But the calling is to serve you with all that they are. That they've been called into a following. That Jesus said, follow me. And as they follow Jesus, we can look to them for guidance. We can look to them for strength and stability. The security of the knowledge that they are following after our Creator, they're following after our Savior. They're following after our Lord only. And we can rest confident in that. So, Lord, we just ask for your continued hand upon this group as we lead forwards into the days ahead, till we look towards the harvest that Jordan portrayed in that picture right there, the things that are coming, Lord. This is the harvest. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, hold on just a second. Yeah, we're going to do that next. yeah, go ahead. Paul just wants to pray a quick prayer.
I would appreciate just stretch your hands one more time towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we just speak abundance of grace upon grace on their lives. That all their actions, Lord God, and all their doings would be compelled by your love, Jesus. That they would remember, Lord God, it's never by strength or power or our works, but by your Spirit. Lord God, remind them that they may be called into a higher place to sacrifice even more things that are precious to them in their life, time and resources, to see the purposes of your kingdom fulfilled in this place. And Lord God, as I believe they are very obedient, surrendered sons and daughters on this platform, may they be very obedient, Lord God, and surrendered fathers and mothers that would have many spiritual children, many spiritual sons and daughters in your precious name. We pray in your precious name, Lord Jesus.
So, at this time, we got you guys each a present. We just want to present to you. Rich and Ann are going to hand off to you.
Whoa.
Just so you know, it's a devotion. It's by Charles Spurgeon. It includes his commentary, and it's for the Book of Psalms. And it's the idea for them. We really want to make an investment in growth in just all of you as leaders. Right off the bat, and so just be blessed by it. And and then, where did Brian and Donna duck off to? Get out here, you two. All right. So first of all, your new eldership team, everybody. Praise Fellowship Thursday. And it would be extremely wrong,
yes. Extremely
wrong for us to not acknowledge this wonderful couple and their steadfast faith, faithfulness, and just being a part of many, many years of leadership in this church. And so we want to honor you and give you a gift.
It isn't anything that can express our gratitude.
Yeah, it doesn't even begin to express.
You did give us your daughter. That is your firstborn daughter. That is true. We love you.
Didn't give her away.
And just so you guys know, Brian and Donna aren't going anywhere. But we do. We just want to acknowledge you both, and we just. Thank you, and I just want to pray over you both as you are stepping into a new season. And Father, I just praise you and thank you for this faithful couple, this son and daughter whom you cherish and love so much and have seen fit to unify in your Spirit, to make one and to allow their wisdom, to allow their counsel, to allow their guidance for years to be a part of the direction of Praise Fellowship Church. And we just thank you as they step into this next season of just being really spiritual grandparents of the faith in this house. We have generational blessings represented in this stage. And we are so, so honored by that, God. Your provision is just astounding. Father God. And so as they move forward into this next season, continue to just overwhelm them with provision, favor, and blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I know, right? Way to make you cry. I didn't do it. Can't help it when the Lord moves. All right, well, I'm just gonna say thank you to all of you. Because that was beautiful. I thank you for your willingness to make those commitments, and thank you, elders, for your willingness to make your commitments. Now let's eat. All right, everybody, I'll pray over the food. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you. Sorry, it's okay. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the goodness that was poured out and the blessing today. And I just ask, Father, that you grow us closer as a family, closer in fellowship. And, you know, we just thank you and praise you for the food and abundance that is here today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.